All right, welcome back to our coverage here on WGR, the 2025 NFL Draft. Quick little update for you. We will have Joe DiBiase live around 9:30. He'll join us live from the Resurgence Draft Party. The draft chugging along. The pick is in at number 8, the Carolina Panthers on the clock. And let's see who they grab.
And here's the commissioner.
With the 8th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers select Teteroa McMillan, wide receiver, Arizona.
So Tet McMillan, the wide receiver from Arizona, the second wide receiver, or first if you consider Travis Hunter a corner. I like the pick a lot. We said Jalen Coker, who really finished the year strong last year. They drafted, obviously, they traded back with the Bills at 32 to grab
Xavier Leggett.
So they've got two boundaries, a slot, and they still have Adam Thielen, who played very well last year.
Yeah, he did.
That's
right.
And Sanders, the tight end out of Texas that they drafted last year.
That's a lot
they've
of
got
weapons.
Chuba Hubbard, and they brought back in Rico Dowdle as a free agent. So, yeah, I think it's a good move for them to surround. What you want to do is eliminate as many excuses as you can for a third-year Bryce Young, who started to show some signs at the end of last year.
He really did. You start to see the athleticism sort of back to harkening back to his Heisman year at Alabama, where he's able to move around, manipulate the pocket. He kind of showed that he had a bit of a whip. I mean, he's 5'10", but he does have a good NFL arm. I wonder now. I don't think Atlanta's going to be very good. I think they'll be okay, not great. We'll see with Penix and his jump. I think New Orleans is going to be terrible. And then Tampa is good. But not it's a lot of good, not great. So maybe Carolina, if Young takes a third-year jump here, they can maybe really compete there. I will say about Atlanta, I don't want to say they're terrible. Bijan Robinson had maybe the quietest 1,400-yard rushing season I've ever seen. And Drake London, for same thing, kind of popped off and showed he was maybe a number one receiver with his statistics last year with Kirk Cousins, who can't walk, and Michael Penix, who kind of showed up at the end of the year. We'll see now.
So the New Orleans Saints are now on the clock. The pick is already in, which is interesting.
We're going fast
so
here.
I'll make a note here. I do know who the pick is. And what I will say is Trevor Penning, their first-round pick from a few years ago, they announced yesterday that they're declining the fifth-year option on Penning, who really since entering the league has been dealing with injury issues and really has not been able to find the field very much. So something to note there. But the Saints and the Panthers and the Buccaneers, I mean, that NFC South division and obviously the Falcons with, you know, Michael Penix and the pieces they have on offense in Atlanta. The Saints, I think, are a team that if I were the Saints, what I would have been looking to do, and maybe this just wasn't available to them, is move back as far as I could to try to get as much draft capital. They're just in cap nightmare right now still. They're in cap hell. Trying to acquire assets would have been the move. Yeah.
Look at the coach they kind of had to, I guess, be given in Kellen Moore.
Really?
Yeah. There's no juice in New Orleans. There really isn't.
Mickey Loomis really put them in such.
Killed them. He killed them.
And there's nothing to show for it at this point either.
No. You have no Super Bowl appearances during this kind of like come hell or high water period.
You ended up with.
Not all of your fault, but 2009 is a long time ago. And New Orleans is in a bad, bad spot. I don't like Kellen Moore at all as a coach. We have no idea if Derek Carr is going to play next year.
And if
Alvin
he does,
Kamara is another year older. Cam Jordan, another year older.
They extended Alvin Kamara.
Yeah. There's no juice there at all.
Yeah. It is looking kind of tough where they are. And the pick is in, but they're talking to Tet McMillan on the stage, so there's no way this is coming in anytime soon.
They also, if I'm New Orleans, maybe more than anybody, and Cleveland made moves to set themselves up for next year. New Orleans should have been the team to do it. Well, not agreed. But they, more than anybody, is desperate for Arch Manning to play 1 year at Texas. Desperate.
Yes.
That is the only way you're getting butts in seats. That they might be the worst team in football.
They are probably going to be the worst team in football. Like, this is. What Cleveland did was smart. New Orleans needed to find a way to do something similar. And The only problem with that is, oh, who really is up there worthy of being traded up for?
No, and that's nine. Right. They maybe want to trade back. There's no one really to move up for. You know, we're only getting the one quarterback. Shadur, I think most of us agree, the only time him or Dart is going to go is probably 21 to Pittsburgh. And I just look at this longest active drought since drafting a quarterback. They have not drafted one in the first round, the Saints, since 1971, Archie Manning.
And the closest that they've gotten, the closest the next team is 1989 with Troy Aikman with the Cowboys.
How have you gone since 1971 and not drafted a quarterback? They were bad for the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
Well, in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't sacrilege to try to draft a quarterback in the second round and think that that might be the future.
No, but they were bad enough to where they might be up there to get one.
Yeah, but it was also not as important as these days.
Man, 2009... Good they have one, but they're still just not – thank God for Drew Brees.
Sins of the past, fan. Yeah.
I want to point out, nine picks in an hour.
Mets.
Love this.
It's pretty good. I'm going to ask you to stop, though, because we do this every year.
I'm going to ask you to stop, though.
We do this every year.
Commish on the stage.
With the ninth pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the New Orleans Saints select Kelvin Banks Jr., Tackle, Texas.
Hook and horns, baby.
Let me ask you this. I know that Dane Brugler has him listed as an offensive guard, his second offensive guard tackle in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he can do both. I think there's a good chance he starts his career at guard and then moves to tackle, depending on their needs. I think he could be a very, very good guard. He was such a good tackle at Texas. He, though, got worked by Georgia.
Mm.
I'd almost say in particular. And so maybe his best spot is actually a guard, although the graphic up here on ESPN is portraying him as an offensive tackle.
I think Brugler is the only one that I've seen him project as a guard.
Yes,
as a guard.
I agree. I think, though, he might be best as a guard. I think that maybe is something there. He's a big guy, good mover. Be like kind of, you know, for the Bills it's worked out, Osiris Torrance. He was a guard, though, at Florida. It just happened to be he was huge. But you know, he can kind of do both. New Orleans probably is going to have him do both. They're not in a good spot at all.
Yeah, not in a good spot, but I do think that if you want to try, to make it where they also declined the fifth-year option on Trevor Penning, so it kind of makes sense that they're projecting Banks as a tackle.
Oh, boy.
Zach almost
flew
out
of actually not that dramatic. The Bears pick is in. I've seen it.
Okay.
It's not that dramatic. Nate's upset.
Oh, wow. Oh, interesting.
I don't think it's that surprising.
I think it's pretty surprising.
I'm not saying I think it's good. I'm saying I don't think it's that surprising.
No, I'm going to say it's straight up surprising. I'm not sure necessarily that it makes zero sense, but this screams you're mad that you didn't get Genty.
I agree. That's why it's not. That's why it's not surprising.
Yeah. So you know, obviously,
I told you he's going to be smashing his computer.
So let me ask you guys about the Bears, I should say. That was a Freudian slip because they're just as worthless as the Browns.
Ouch.
The Bears. You know, Ben Johnson. I loved that move for them, and especially for Caleb Williams.
And it also felt like 2 years in the making.
Yeah. I would agree with that. I love this for me in terms of having DeAndre Swift in Dynasty. Mm-hmm. Them not getting Ash and Denty is a nice little feeling for me. But overall, when you look at the Bears this year, you look at that division, it was one of the most competitive divisions in the NFL last year.
Yeah.
Is there a scenario in your mind where the head coach, a fortified offensive line and maybe a new weapon, give them an opportunity to win that division, or do you think they're still...
Has Caleb Williams taken the next step?
Yeah, I guess that's the question you have to ask yourself.
Because, I mean, the thing is, for me at least, I'm a big J.J. McCarthy fan. I think he is going to be a very good NFL quarterback. If he's healthy, the Vikings have been very not saying too much about him, so I don't know. But if Caleb Williams is still holding onto the ball too long...
We have a game reveal right now for the schedule?
Do we?
I.
Is that what's going on?
Just reveal the schedule on schedule day.
It's got to be one of the
It's my old man take of the day.
If they're doing this, it's got to be international game, right?
Yeah, I would think. Yeah. And weren't the Green Bay Packers set to play an international game?
Again.
Would you think that maybe they're announcing the Green Bay?
Oh, might be them in Pittsburgh, Ireland.
Okay. They were revealing when they would be revealing the schedule.
Oh, my God.
I hate
That's awful.
The reveal of the reveal.
That's terrible. Can we just say who the Bears picked? Because now this is getting ridiculous.
I feel like I want to go play Frogger now in real life.
This is getting ridiculous.
Come on.
We also now know who is going to be picked 11th for San Francisco. But I'm glad we got the date reveal for when the schedule is going to be revealed, guys. That's great. I'm really glad we did that.
Yeah. Wow. Wow.
Okay, we're now two picks behind because of that. But thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank you.
That's real cool.
On the Bears, though, yeah. Cool. If Caleb Williams has not taken the next step forward, you're still probably the bottom feeder. I think
Jalen Walker on the board still.
Yeah, Jalen Walker on the board. The pick at 11.
I actually like this pick at 11 for the 49ers. I don't like him
over Walker. The production's not there.
Well, way to spoil something about it.
The production is just not there for this guy.
But this is starting to be a fascinating draft, more so than last year easily. And I think we're going to get Kamish.
We are.
Yesterday, the NFL family lost a true legend, Bears Hall of Famer Steve McMichael. My heart is with the McMichael family during this incredibly difficult time. Misty, please know that you are in our thoughts and prayers. Mongo's remarkable contributions to the game and the community will never be forgotten. His legacy will continue to inspire generations to come. 50 years ago, with the fourth pick in the 1975 NFL draft, the Chicago Bears selected one of Steve McMichael's teammates and closest friends, Walter Payton, running back, Jackson State. Walter would go on to rush for nearly 17,000 yards and 110 touchdowns over 13 seasons, all with the Chicago Bears. As you heard earlier, the NFL continues to honor Sweetness, not only for his performance and excellence on the field, but also his commitment to give back to his community with the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. So with the 10th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Chicago Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end, Michigan.
Well, there it is.
Wow.
Colston Loveland, we were alluding to a little bit of a surprise here. Consensus, I would say, number two tight end in this draft behind Tyler Warren. But if you're looking for conventional from this position, that's Loveland. Here's my thing. They paid
Cole Kmet.
Cole Kmet.
Yeah.
And
this screams, we wanted Genty, couldn't get him. Loveland's our best offensive player on the board, and we're going to take him. Even if the position doesn't make sense. I will say, though, the Bills did this a few years ago after paying Dawson Knox, select Dalton Kincaid.
Yeah,
it's not that stunning. I kind of was for it with Kincaid a little bit. I kind of got onto that pick, but I don't love drafting tight ends this early.
No.
They are usually players, number one, that take a year or two to get acclimated into the NFL. And, like, the best ones in the NFL typically are, like, second, third, fourth round picks. I like Loveland a lot. It was kind of the only weapon for Michigan. But
I mean, he's better than Cole Kmet. So.
He is.
I like Cole Kmet.
I like Loveland better than Warren, so I like that he is the first tight end taken.
I just don't think a lot of people thought he was going to be the first tight end taken.
No.
In fact, I didn't see any mock draft.
But if you were a Loveland guy, you kind of hated Warren.
He's not a conventional player at the position.
And Penn State kind of, in a way, manufactured targets for him, which
it's not going to happen necessarily at the next level.
He's not going to be running for our guy Trevor Howard.
Colts fan.
Yeah, he's probably hurting a little bit. He's probably yeah, he can't might even be. See him out
Warren's
there.
Still on the board. I not here. Wouldn't hate yeah. Warren.
Warren's still there, but like I feel like Loveland probably would be a better fit. Like you guys said, he's more conventional. He can do more for you and be more of the well-rounded, versatile tight end that the position typically is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. On to the 49ers now. They're in a bad spot, too. They're going to pay Brock Purdy too much, most definitely. They've gotten incredibly old very, very quickly at pretty much all of their premium positions. And hell, they're picking 11th this year. They've been in the Super Bowl a number of times over the last 4 or 5 years. It's just, I don't really know where they're going to pay Brock Purdy. I think it's a really bad move. And while I think Kyle Shanahan's a very good coach, you have seen some limitations. When his quarterback gets hurt, and to be fair, yeah, they fall apart. But they've gotten so old at a lot of their great positions. Deebo Samuel's no longer on that team. Ayuk already kind of feels like a real bad decision for what they did, which was, you know, give him a contract extension. We already know the pick because we felt super behind.
Yeah, because they had to announce the schedule.
Freaking
yeah.
minutes.
I will say, though.
No, they had to announce the announcement of yeah. the schedule.
I will say, though, for this pick, maybe the best landing spot, San Francisco. Because they do get a lot out of their draft picks. They make them work. And so maybe this player who doesn't have the production you want to see in college, this might be the best spot for him.
It might be. And I do think that it's a solid pick for them. I personally like this player for... I was praying that this guy would try to like fall a little bit so that the Bills can go up and get him, mm-hmm. honestly. But this is not to be the case.
He would have been a player I would have been able to get behind, but on draft night I'd be terrified if the Bills drafted him. There's a few players.
Meanwhile, anyone listening,
who San Francisco is ultimately going to take, he would scare me a little bit. I would be into it, but I would be very nervous.
It's not Shamar Stewart. But
no.
I will say.
I meant I felt like Stewart is the one guy you look at and say, How did you not?
How did you not?
You're an athletic freak.
Yeah. How did that not happen?
Yeah. How did it not happen?
And, well, yes, yeah, Stewart fits the mold we see every year in the draft, which is, oh yeah, this guy's gonna, you know, the testing's gonna be off the charts. Sucked in college, but he's a freak athlete. We see that guy every year. I think Shamar Stewart's that guy. I Nick Emmanuel, I know Bulldog's a big fan of his. He scares me seeing some of the I guess low lights, but really kind of looking at the tape. Freak athlete, not the best safety in the world, but depending on the situation he goes to, could really work. I think who San Francisco ultimately takes here, I think is something similar. I genuinely don't feel that good about Shamar Stewart at all, where I think Emmanuel or who San Francisco takes could maybe blossom in the right situation. I think San Francisco at 11 might be that situation. However, I felt the same way about Trey Lance to San Francisco, and that, well, exploded.
Well, like, by the way,
almost immediately.
For those that love the Bills, anything defense strategy?
You feel like the board, the
board's
way that it's
falling
in the first 10, you're feeling pretty good?
Board's falling your way.
I think it's gone kind of how you somewhat have assumed. I mean, the last 5 picks have been offense.
Yes. For me, it's Loveland was kind of the first surprise. But most of it has gone relatively chalk.
Yeah.
McMillan ends up a top 10 pick. Banks is a player that could have threatened the top 10. But now it's, okay, Loveland there. San Fran, please announce your picks so I can finally start talking about this player.
Oh, we're finally seeing Shedeur Sanders.
Hey, it's not
just his
couch.
They finally pan to him when he's actually there. I'm not blaming Shedeur. What are we panning over to an empty room?
It's the production that we were talking about.
We finally saw him. Got a lot of people, though. Looks like a fun party. Look at this. Current starting quarterbacks. Indianapolis. Disgraceful.
Have we not considered them taking a quarterback at all?
I don't think it's a good enough class. And I think there is a feeling of, we've got to know for sure Richardson's not the guy.
Sure.
I think we're pretty much there, but deal with it this year and then next year, go again. But everyone else, they had one. And then Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson / Daniel Jones. I don't know, maybe. We're going to find out. So bad.
Yeah.
So bad. I'll always take a quarterback like Richardson because, again, the high floor guys, just nothing for me anymore with NFL quarterbacks. But, man, when they miss, it's disastrous.
By the way, John Ledyard, a friend of ours, he said 2.5 offensive players in the top 10 picks.
I like that.
Or 2.5 defensive, sorry.
I like that.
I like that. Do we have the commissioner? We might have the commissioner. Oh, hang on. I think we have the announcement of the pick. It's not going to be Roger.
We're celebrating our 250th anniversary. We're grateful for the opportunity to partner with the NFL Salute to Service and the USO in introducing the San Francisco 49ers 2025 draft pick.
With the San Francisco 49ers draft pick, back to you in Green Bay.
What? You couldn't let them announce the pick?
So long for this damn pick.
Thank you to our men and women who serve in the United States military for your sacrifices to defend our country's freedom. With the 11th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Mykel Williams, defensive end, Georgia.
So Mykel Williams goes in front of Jalen Walker, who was, I think, a lot of people's, at least from what I saw, consensus number two edge player in this draft, behind Abdul Carter. So interesting move here from San Francisco. They lost quite a bit this offseason, especially along the defensive line. So they also, the thing with Mykel Williams, too, that I really like is I do think there is some the ability to bump in on third down to play some defensive tackle and rush the passer.
He has elite potential.
Yes.
But I think to the Jalen Walker thing, Walker's a better player now,
so,
I think.
You know, the Dallas Cowboys are on the clock right now.
They are taking this whole time.
I want to skip over Dallas quickly and ask you both about the Miami Dolphins, who sit at 13.
Oh, my God. Come on. Go. Clock.
Is anyone else thinking Tyler Warren?
Tyler Warren. I think Nick Amonwori absolutely makes a ton of sense with Holland being gone.
I had thought that they would go offensive line here, but with Banks gone, it's probably not in their best interest value-wise.
And who the Cowboys just took in front of them has to be is worst-case scenario for the Dolphins.
Well, that would mean
I have not seen it yet. Schultz finally is not – now he just did. Yeah, that's terrible for the Dolphins. I was going to bring up his name, and I didn't get to it because you brought that up. Oh, boy. Yeah, that's worst-case scenario.
That was a I kind of called it scenario there. I'm just talking about that certain position for Miami. And no. How about no is the answer?
Dallas took that entire time, by the way. I would just like to point that out.
They really
– Their pick hit, I think, with like 45 seconds left.
Yeah, they really were getting down to the nitty-gritty there. Probably entertaining trade offers as much as humanly possible.
Yeah, and, you know, listen, this was a very popular position for Matthew Golden to be mocked to.
This was the position that he got
guilty
mocked to.
Also, so I mentioned Tyler Warren next for Miami, if it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Would Matthew Golden make sense for the Miami Dolphins?
No, but they'll do it.
If they do it, though, I imagine Tyreek Hill is traded this weekend.
Yes.
I don't know that they have to be mutually exclusive. I think that they could look at it and say, this is his last year.
Give us 1 year.
And we covet speed.
Could it be Jahdae Barron?
Could be Jahdae Barron. They have a hole at cornerback two. They're talking about potentially a hole at cornerback one if they trade Jalen Ramsey. So, yeah, I mean, the Dolphins are going to be an interesting pick. What we're going to do is we're going to get this pick live for you, the Dallas Cowboys. We're going to take a timeout, and then the other side, Joe DiBiase, will join us. But now, the Dallas Cowboys.
Five NFL draft. The Dallas Cowboys select Tyler Booker, guard, Alabama.
Yeah, so the reason I said it was worst-case scenario for Miami is if they were intending on fortifying their offensive line, the top two guards in this draft and or guard tackles, there really isn't an offensive lineman here that makes a ton of sense for them unless they really love Josh Simmons, which they could. That could be a possibility.
Do they go Zabel out of North Dakota State?
That would be, I think, a bit of a reach for them. But we'll see. All right, let's take a timeout. On the other side, the Miami Dolphins will be on the clock. We're going to hear from Joe DiBiase live from the Resurgence draft party as well. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR. All right, welcome back. WGR's continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft. Nate Geary, Derek Kramer, Zach Jones hanging out with you. We have the Dolphins on the clock. We're connecting with Joe DiBiase here in just a moment as well. And nothing to note yet. It's been kind of an interesting start to this draft. We talked a lot about the draft officially starting at 5. Kind of started a little earlier with the trade-up. But ultimately, it's been, I think, this is where I think it starts to get very interesting. Again, for those that are, you know, tallying this up at home, I think you have to feel very, very good about the fact that there have been very few defenders off the board.
No, it's
to get
really
two
nice.
Offensive guards slash, I know Banks is kind of is a tweener there, but to potentially get four offensive linemen off the board, it just has to be you got to be
Having four offensive linemen off the board in what is not a good offensive line class.
No. For seen a lot of teams going.
For anyone that cares about Kansas City, ha.
Well, let's go to the Wester Hotline now. Joining us live from the WGR Draft Party live at Resurgence Brewing is Joe DiBiase. Joe, we were just talking over here about if you're a team looking for a defender like the Bills are, the first 12 picks of this draft, a guard, four total offensive linemen, a running back. Like it really seems to me it's been an ideal start for the Bills who are looking for defenders to fall.
Yeah, I'm loving it so far. I think every position of need that you could really think of for the Bills is, I think, probably best-case scenario so far. I'm just happy. Wow. I mean, especially for this draft, there's a range of opinions on so many guys. My guy going into this night was James Pierce from Tennessee, and he's one of them where you've seen him mocked in the top 10. You have seen him go – I saw one yesterday where he went 60th in the second round. And there's a couple of players like that are a little polarizing that I think are still there on the board. I'm very curious to see if the Bills go after a guy like that where they kind of have that range of opinion. Because so far, if they love a guy like that, I think most of them are still on the board. Like, other than – what do you guys think? Is it Saints pick? Everything else has been –
Hang on, Joe.
Joe, hold on. We got our pick.
Okay.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, this is tough.
I am so mad.
Kenneth Grant.
Now Chris Greer decides to be competent. Now?
Wow.
So there you hear it, Joe. Kenneth Grant off the board to the Miami Dolphins, who replaced Christian Wilkins. Yeah, I would say he was a player I saw a lot of mock drafts making it to the Bills, but falling a couple picks short. 13 seems pretty high for Grant.
It's high. That's why, listen, the second I walk back in there on the mic, I don't know what Jeremy's saying right now, but I'll be the voice of reason if I need to be, because the player is really exciting. He's tantalizing. Like, he's got a really good profile. I think a month ago, the ideal player for me, thinking about this draft, was give me a more mature, more professional Marcell Dareus in the Bills defense. They've not had a one technique like that in a decade. Picking that guy at 13, though, I mean, he's one of these players I was just talking about. The range of opinions was anywhere from, I guess, 13th where he went to end of the first round, maybe second round. That was less likely for him. Listen, I'm good with it. I am good if the Bills don't go defensive tackle in the first round. I know they have the need there, but this team was elite on defense on first and second down last year. They were terrible on third down. Mm-hmm. Kenneth Grant's one of those rare players in position where maybe he would also contribute on third down. Most one techniques, though, are coming off the field on the down that the Bills were terrible at last year.
And I'm so mad. Joe, last thing before I let you go. The Dolphins, you look at that defensive line now. They draft Chop Robinson last year in the first round. Kenneth Grant this year. They obviously are hoping Jalen Phillips makes it back from a second straight season-ending injury. Maybe they get Bradley Chubb back. You look at that defensive line and say, they're building one line because they refuse to pick offensive linemen. But defensive linemen, on the other hand, looking formidable.
It's questionable for me from that standpoint. You just laid it out. Like, I think the defensive line is already pretty good. And listen, it's nice to have that as a strength of your team, but that team needs to protect Tua. The whole blueprint there, especially now that they're losing pieces because the cap is finally coming due and they can't keep everybody the way that they once did, and some guys are getting older. Tyreek Hill's aging out at this point. Even more than this was true of a couple years ago, the whole thing is reliant on you got to keep that quarterback healthy. He is incapable of taking contact, taking hits, and staying on the field for them for a 17-game season. And how they are about to walk into this season with their offensive line as it's currently constructed, Go ahead. Sack Josh Allen 3-4 times when you play them. I don't think you're going to be competitive because they can't keep their quarterback healthy, and they're going to lose 4 games in a row and take themselves out of a playoff race.
All right, Joe, appreciate it, my friend. And one thing I will add for the Dolphins, an unfortunate – I mean, Tyler Booker goes one pick before them. That's just tough.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, Joe, appreciate it, buddy. Enjoy the live draft party, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Yeah, thanks, boys. And by the way, we do still, if you want to show up late and come, we still do have a little bit of room. So come by, $45, pizza, well drinks, beer. You can still stop by if you want.
Awesome. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Joe DiBiase there on the Wester Hotline. While Joe was talking, the Colts pick is in. It is tight end Tyler Warren. 2 tight ends in the top 14 of this draft.
Warren makes a lot of sense for them.
Was this not the pick? I mean, this was easily the most.
I'm so back.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, yeah. Outside of Cam Ward going number one, the number two most likely pick was Ty Warren to
it was
the
a tight end
Indianapolis.
To the Colts.
Yes. To be fair, if we're going off of tipped picks, Grant going to Miami was tipped, and then almost immediately it was the Colts have picked Tyler Warren.
Oh my God, I am so mad.
Anyone that's listened to me over the last 3-4 months knows I was a big Kenneth Grant guy. This is actually my worst case scenario. I hate that Miami got him.
Will
I love
he wear,
Grant.
Is Ty Warren going to wear 44? Because
I really hope so.
There, it's interesting company. And
that's right.
It's funny, a lot of people have comped him to Dallas Clark.
That's right. There's been Dallas Clark. Pretty much exactly who he's been compared to.
Why did Chris Greer choose tonight to be competent? Seriously. Is it quote-unquote early for Grant?
It's because he got your player. I'm not sure that it makes a lot of sense to me for them.
That's
it doesn't make sense for them, but it's a good player.
It's a good player. And you know what? For their defense, does he quote-unquote make them tougher? Sure.
It's not even tougher. They fill a need that they willingly let go a year ago when they just said, Christian Wilkins, you can leave.
I think it's correcting an error. They need help desperately on the offensive line. It did not go well for them in terms of, Nate pointed out, we had 4 tackles/guards go in the first 12 picks.
I hope Miami wins 3 games.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a timeout so that we can try to get this pick live from Atlanta coming up. We're going to have Sal Capaccio at 9:45 as well. And coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR is presented by Fiegel Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, and brought to you by New York's Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by Northtown Automotive Group, Northtown Automotive, official automotive dealer of the Buffalo Bills, and by the Quilted Squirrel. Great websites, more leads, real growth for your business. Learn more at tqsmarketing.com. The NFL draft continues on. The pick is in. Pick number 15, the Atlanta Falcons, which we'll have here for you in just a moment. We'll also hear from Sal Capaccio here in a few moments as well, live from One Bills Live, as we get to the halfway mark, or as Rick Jenneret would say, halfway through the NFL draft.
And I'm still in hell. I'm still salty.
So I had mentioned who I think this pick is going to be.
The Falcons really could go in a lot of directions as long as it's on defense for them.
I think the Falcons really, I don't think in their wildest dreams would they have had Jalen Walker sitting there in their lap.
And that's the thing, too. They could go any different direction as long as it's a guy in the defensive line that could pass rush. Atlanta has to go that way.
All right. We've got Sal Capaccio waiting. Let's carry this pick live, and then we will go to Sal because we do have the pick in here for the Atlanta Falcons. And just a quick note, we'll get you a quick rundown of the previous couple of picks here. If one of you guys want to have that prepared to just run through the top 15 picks or top 14 after this one here. But the Atlanta Falcons pick is in, and it looks like Commissioner Goodell is walking to the stage. I can't quite tell.
Slowly but surely. We're getting there.
I will, and I'm interested.
You got to let the slow ramp come down.
I am interested in what Sal's take's going to be here, but defense and corner really working for the Bills here as the pick is in.
With the 15th pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Jalen Walker, Defensive end, Georgia.
So there you go. Jalen Walker, Georgia defensive end. This is a perfect time to bring Sale Capaccio in on the West Hurt Hotline. Sale, Jalen Walker, a bit of a fall. I think I have not really seen him out of the top 10 of most mock drafts that I've seen. Mm-hmm. But overall, Sale, I think if you're Brandon Bean and you're sitting here, I mean, you had four offensive linemen go in the top 13. Obviously, Kenneth Grant off the board. But if you're looking for defense, draft is the board is falling nicely.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. The only two defensive tackles taken so far are the two Michigan teammates.
Yep.
Obviously, Mason Graham early. And then Kenneth Grant, if you're a Kenneth Grant fan,
mm-hmm,
you want him
on
the Bills. He's going to your AFC East Division rival, Miami Dolphins. So that's where they take him. Some people thought a little high for Kenneth Grant, but, I mean, good player. And obviously, if you like him that much, you're the Miami Dolphins, you take him. I'm not going to bang on them for the pick. He's a good player, and they needed that particular spot with what's happened on their defense over the last couple of years. And then, obviously, at corner, still some really fantastic and fine corners. But I think that kind of lends me to what I've been saying. Look, if some of these corners are still there, then you might just need to grab one if you're the Bills. But I still believe, and I've said this, that I think the Bills might be able to get a really nice corner in the second round. We'll see how things start to fall here. Derek Harmon's still on the board. Walter Nolan's still on the board. Mm-hmm. Defensive tackles. Tyleek Williams, obviously I have him. I don't know if he would go this high necessarily. I'm just saying that obviously some guys there the Bills could choose from. Darius Alexander, a name you should probably keep an eye on too for the Bills. Mm-hmm. He's an athletic guy from Toledo. Will Johnson, interesting, right?
Yes, where that was the name I was going to ask you about, Sal.
Knee injury. Yeah, I think the knee injury, obviously has people kind of shying away or wondering, but you never know what the medical is on all of that. So, yeah, a lot happening. We are midway to the Bills pick at number 30.
Sal, so with 5 minutes here on the clock with Arizona, you mentioned, Will Johnson at the end there. I think you're kind of sitting at the point in this draft where the guy, we're at 15. At 16 now, we've heard there's reports that Brandon Bean had 12 first-round grades. I would imagine mm-hmm. that I would think most people have a first-round grade on Will Johnson, but I think we're sitting mm-hmm. at this point, Sal, where if Brandon Bean only has 12 names, there's probably 1, 2, 3, a handful of names left. Where is the point where maybe your eyebrows raise a little bit, like they're getting in range of a trade up? What number do you think that could be for you that the Bills would be comfortable potentially moving up for?
I can't see it outside top over 20.
Okay.
Because mm-hmm. I just think it'd be cost too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's not the player. Your point is right. I agree with you, Nate, which is like, at some point there's going to be nobody left. And if you really want a first round value, you yep. need to trade up to get them. I just don't know if you can do that with how high you have to get. You know what I mean? I think 20 is as high as the Bills go. That's a 10-spot jump, and that's already a big jump. Let's remember, what did they do for Kyrela? Maybe 4 or 5, right? Mm-hmm. Something like that it was. What did they do for Dalton Kincaid?
2.
Same thing.
Yeah,
I don't remember the exact
two.
Numbers.
Yeah.
But two. It wasn't 10.
Right.
10 is a lot. You know, the most I can remember, well, I guess the biggest one I can remember would be Atlanta coming up to get Julio Jones, right?
That right.
Was, oh,
that was
yeah.
a massive, massive yeah. move up, right? Okay, that's top 10. If you remember, obviously, the 2017 draft, we all do. Patrick Mahomes. Hold on. If you remember the 2017 draft, sorry about that, guys. Patrick Mahomes and, the Buffalo Bills and the draft that they had there,
yep.
They went up from 27 to 10. And that's 17 spots. That's a whole heck of a lot. So, yeah, I think that I think that would be a really massive move.
See, I'm talking about trades. We right before the draft started, we talked to you about Travis Hunter, kind of the rumblings that maybe Cleveland was going to move back, Jacksonville was going to move forward. That ultimately did happen. Cleveland gets a big haul for that. All three of us, though, were talking. Jacksonville may have been the team that would have benefited from most, especially when you look at the AFC South. What did you think of the trade?
I just can't understand the Cleveland Browns passing on that talent. Look, they're getting a haul. There's no doubt. I saw your tweet, Nate, and I get from your standpoint. Like, they're kind of doing it right, but you're middling it by also signing Myles Garrett, right, which is your point.
Yep.
And I get that. I get it. I just, if you're the Cleveland Browns, you have a generational talent staring you in the face. You take them. You can make another trade later. Yeah, they're getting a lot more picks. Who'd they take? Mason Graham? I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm, yep.
It's Mason Graham.
Yeah.
Nice player.
With that. Yeah.
It's Travis Hunter.
I think it's probably the best way to put it.
Josh
yeah.
Reed's sitting next to me. He grew up Josh Reed is sitting next to me. He grew up a Cleveland Browns fan. You know what he has said?
Sorry,
he said this
Josh.
On the radio last week when we talked. He said it tonight. He said Travis Hunter would walk on the Cleveland Browns roster, he would immediately become their second best defensive player and their first best offensive player. That's how good he is. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think he's generational. I think he's amazing. And I think if you're Cleveland Browns, you made a mistake.
And this feels like, you know, as much as we're giving credit to the Browns, they do this a lot where they'll move back, get another first-round pick in the next year's draft, and then I know it's a different regime, but then they botch it. You know, look at Justin Gilbert, Johnny Manziel all those years ago. They do this a lot where you like the move, it makes a lot of sense, and then it burns them because they don't take the clear-cut guy.
Yeah, I'm not giving them credit. I don't think they did the right thing here. I think they should have taken Travis Hunter. Now, from a Jacksonville Jaguars standpoint, it's interesting because they're getting a great player, no doubt about that. But, man, they gave up quite a bit, right? And if it doesn't work out right away, they have no first-round pick next year. They have no second-round pick this year. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing with Jacksonville. They can afford this because they already have their quarterback, right? They're not searching for a quarterback. They have, you know, for whatever you think about Trevor Lawrence, they have their quarterback in place. And now you get Brian Thomas Jr. and Travis Hunter. And, look, they're not going to get Travis Hunter at two and not playing him both ways. I can't see that happening. They have to play him both ways. Otherwise, why did you do this in the first place? So I like the trade more for the Jags simply because I think Travis Hunter is the best player in this draft and one of the best that we've seen in a long, long time.
Sal, by the way, nice job nailing pick 16. The Arizona Cardinals, that pick is in. It's Walter Nolan, and that was in your mock.
Thank you.
So well done there.
Yeah, I was, I think the first four or five I had right, or in up to eight, I think I had at least, if it wasn't the same team, as the right player in mm-hmm. that spot. And then because we had the trade there, and then we had a couple that didn't go, and then things did not go my way. In fact,
yeah.
I mean, I blew it, guys. I didn't have Walker in my first round. So I blew it there. But that, you know, that happened. But I don't know why. I think at the end of it, I'm like, how did I not do that?
Well, and Michael sometimes
Williams,
you miss one.
So I didn't have him. So, well, I missed two of them there. Williams and Walker, I didn't have in the first round, and that's on me. I blew that. But, I mean, I'm just looking at the boards and how they're falling, and that's how it went. But in the meantime, you got a few right, too. So I'll take those and run with them.
Yeah, we're having a decent run here this year, Mr. Capaccio. But a run on D-tackles has started a little bit here with Walter Nolan now going. But it does still seem like the board is relatively still stable here for a Bills fan when it comes to if they want a defensive tackle, there's still going to be some decent options heading toward 30.
Yeah, I agree with that. Defensive tackle, corner, still some really nice players on the board for the Bills. We'll see, though. Is there a trade-up in the cards? Not really sure. Obviously, there's a lot of night left here, and we'll see what happens. And last year we sat here saying the same thing, and then they ultimately didn't even pick.
All right, Sal, thank you so much. I appreciate it. We'll hear from you maybe very soon. We'll have to find out here in the next couple of minutes.
You got it.
Thanks, Sal. Sal Capaccio live from One Bills Drive. We're going to take a timeout on the other side. We'll have pick 17. I don't have any insider information. It's going to be Mike Green. I mean, come on. It's going to be Mike Green. So Cincinnati on the clock, 5 minutes. We'll get you an update on the picks made to this point as well on the other side. You're listening to continuing coverage of the 2025 NFL Draft on WGR.